We'll continue our study. We began this morning trying to look at the subject of us being deceived and the fact that Satan is a great deceiver. Satan has tremendous power to be able to deceive people. He has the power. We looked at Revelation chapter 13 that talks about the fact that he has the power to perform miracles. He has the power to call for fire to come down from heaven. He has the power to give life. A lot of different things that the devil has power to do, and sometimes people that look at events, those people are deceived by looking at those events and looking at circumstances and conditions rather than looking at the Word of God. The Word of God is the greatest blessing that we have to be able to read and study the Word of God is the number one way that we're able to not be deceived. It's a knowledge of the truth of God's Word that helps us not to be deceived. To be deceived by Satan or to be deceived by men, either one, if we have a greater knowledge and understanding of the truth of God's Word, it will help keep us from being deceived. We'll begin looking tonight at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God here talks about that God has put various people in the church and given various offices in the church, and the purposes of those men primarily is to edify the body of Christ, for the body of Christ to grow in a knowledge of the truth of God's Word. It is not enough when you come to the house of God. It is not enough for you just to sing. I love to sing, love to worship God in singing, but it's not enough just to sing. It's not enough just to come and to pray. Now, I'm not saying we couldn't come sometimes and just sing and come sometimes pray, but you need, and I need, the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. And so we need to pray that God will feed us with His Word. God will bless us to be able to hear and understand the Word of God, because it's knowledge of the Word of God that will primarily keep us from being deceived by the devil. So in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, the Word of God says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, or cast to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." I'll stop reading there. Notice that the purpose of the Word of God is so that we can be established in the truth. People of God can know what the facts are from the Word of God so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I really believe that most people today, most of God's children, they can hear one preacher preach and say, "Oh, I enjoyed that so much." And then they can hear another preacher, and he preaches something that's completely contrary to the Word of God, and they can sit there and say, "Oh, I enjoyed that so much." And there's so little knowledge of the Word of God that the people of God are not established in anything. They don't know the truth. And what happens is that they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And when people are not established in the truth, the Word of God says here that there will be people that will come and that they will begin to, by their cunning craftiness, they will lie in wait to deceive. I believe that the devil will work in a church where people are not established in the truth. The devil will send people to that church, and those people will lie in wait to deceive. They'll sit around and they'll watch, and they'll listen, and they'll find sheep. They'll find little lambs of God that are not established in the Word of God, and they lie in wait to deceive, and then they'll gradually begin to work through those individuals to deceive them and to lead them away from the truth and away from the Word of God, and eventually lead them away from the church and away from Jesus Christ. And the purpose of all of the deceiving that the devil does and that his angels do, the purpose of all that deceiving is to destroy the lives of the people of God, even to destroy the local church. The true church of Jesus Christ cannot be destroyed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But that does not mean that any local church has complete security, because if you go back to all of the churches that we read about in the Bible, where are those churches today? They're all gone. Do you know why they're all gone? Because there were men that were lying in wait and looking for an opportunity to begin to lead people astray, to lead them away from the Word of God. And there were not enough strong Christians in those churches. Eventually, there were not enough strong Christians, even in churches that were strong in one generation. The next generation comes along, and there was weakness, until finally those that lie in wait to deceive, they were able to completely take over the church. And the church was destroyed, and the Spirit of God was removed from the church, and then it ceased to exist. Those are sad things that can happen to a church, but churches can be deceived. Most of those churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, they were deceived. Little by little, people began to lie in wait to deceive, and again, now it was the devil working, but he worked through people, real human beings. He worked through those people to deceive the other people of God. You know, when the devil began to tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden, when he began to tempt her, one of the things he said was, "Hath God said," you remember how he started, "Hath God really said," and then began to pose his trickery and his deceitfulness, "Has God really said that?" And I think that's the way he's working today in our lives. There's so many people that they hear something from the Word of God and they said, "Has God really said something like that?" Well, yes, God has said. God said some things that shock people when they hear what the Word of God has to say. And then those people will say, "You know, the God that I serve would not ever lead us to do anything like that." I'm telling you, brethren, the God of the Bible, if you don't know what the Bible says and you're just going to lean to your own understanding, you will never follow the Word of God. You'll never follow truth. You will be destroyed. You'll be deceived, because it's only as you have the light of the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's only as you lay hold on that truth. It's only as you study and as you pray and God gives you a knowledge of the truth. It's the truth that keeps you from being deceived and led astray and tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I pray that God will help us to be established in the truth. That's one of the purposes. That's one of my main purposes in life, is for you to be established in the truth. Now, sometimes we see people that were established in the truth, and then we begin to see them begin to go away from the truth. There are people that once stood very firmly on the truth of God's Word. There are people that they would not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. They took a biblical stand, but do you know what's happened? They've been deceived, and they've begun to just break down the walls that God set up in His Word, and they've begun to be led astray, and they've begun to do things that are contrary to the teachings of God's Word. And the whole time they think they're just being more gracious and more loving and more charitable, and the reality is they're being swallowed up by Satan. They're being destroyed, and their families are going to be destroyed. So there are those that lie in wait to deceive. And the only way that you're not going to be deceived is if you keep studying the Word of God and you always require a "Thus saith the Lord." If someone's beginning to teach you something, you need to always say, "Where is that in the Word of God?" show it to me in the Word of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, still in the same book. He continues to talk about those that would lie in wait to deceive. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, "Let no man deceive you." Who did we start out studying about this morning deceiving us? Who is the one, that the main one we looked at this morning? Satan deceives us. Now, we're talking about men deceiving us. Do you think that I can deceive you? Yes, I can. I can deceive you. And you have the responsibility as members of the body of Christ at the Way Cross Primitive Baptist Church. You have the responsibility as you hear the Word of God. You have the responsibility to receive it with all readiness of mind. And then you're to go home and study the Scriptures to see if those things are true or not. And if they're not true, then you're to come to me and you're to try to work with me to convert me to the truth of God's Word. And if you can't convert me, then you need to get the brethren together and see if the brethren can listen and see if they can establish what is truth. And then something has to be done to take a stand for truth. Ephesians 5, 6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Did you know flattery will get you everywhere? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's part of human nature. You start flattering me and I'm just going to stick to you like glue. You tell me, you know, you have the prettiest brown eyes. Well, oh, really? And I'm going to go home and I'm going to look in the mirror and I'll think, well, you know, I've never really noticed how pretty my eyes are. Or, you know, your voice is just, it's like an angel speaking from heaven. Oh, really? You know what all that's doing? Now, it's all right. Listen carefully. It's fine to compliment people. It's fine to say things that are honest and are true. But you and I have to be careful about saying things that are not true to butter up people and to get them to take our position or our side on something because we're flattering them. Vain words. When I go around and preach at other churches, I often hear members say, and I've learned this very quickly the first year or two that I started preaching. Somebody that comes up to you at a church where you're preaching a meeting and they say, "Oh, Brother Mullis, that's the most wonderful sermon I've ever heard." You know what I know? You know what I usually know? Back up and take two steps backwards. And first of all, remember this. The devil wants the preacher to get a big head. And so he can begin to think he's done something. And the other thing is that usually a person that begins to do all these flowery talking and give you a lot of vain words, there's usually an ulterior motive behind what they're doing. And most of those people that Brother Philip knows, he goes around, he knows the people that do all that big talking about how great you are, they're always there to nail their preacher to the wall. And usually it's because their preacher's been doing a good job, and that guy's a demon in the church. He's either an angel that's been transformed into a messenger of righteousness or, and an angel of light, or else he's a child of God that's been led astray, and he's on the wrong path. And he's out to destroy the pastor. And what's he going to do? He'll say it right in front of the preacher. He'll say, "Oh, it's been years since we've heard a sermon like that." He's going on and on talking about how wonderful it is to finally hear the Word of God. And the poor pastor that's been laboring with them night and day and faithful and studies the Word of God and preaches the Word of God, he's standing there and just little heart's just broken. Most of the people that do all the flattery, they're deceitful workers. Hurt, kill, destroy. They'll give you those vain and flowery words today. Those same people that'll give you those flowery words today, they'll become your enemies when you cross them. So you and I need to pray that God will help us not to be deceived by vain words. Do vain words have an effect on us? Do words that lift us up, do they have an effect on us? Sure they do. Is it good for you to build up people? Is it good for you to encourage people? Absolutely. But you need to be careful about what your intent and motive is. And if your intent and motive is to sway them and get them on your side in an evil way, then you need to understand you're being used by the devil. Don't use vain words to get people to go in a direction that's contrary to the Word of God. So So he says in Ephesians 5, 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What happens? If I listen to those vain words and I'm deceived by those vain words, the wrath of God is going to come on me because I have listened to those vain words and been led astray from the truth by those vain words. Go with me to Titus chapter 1 very quickly. Now remember, what did Ephesians 4 establish was necessary in order to keep the people of God from being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? What did they have to have? What did they need in order to not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? What did they need? What did they need? They needed the Word of God. Look at Titus chapter 1. Go forward in your Bibles about 15 or 20 pages in Titus chapter 1. Listen to verses 9, 10, and 11. The Word of God says in Titus 1, beginning in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word. Do you know what you need to hold on to? You need to hold on to the faithful word. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to say, I need to hear the Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God. I need to study the Word of God. I need God to show me the truth in His Word. I need to grow. Listen, brethren, if you haven't been growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, if you haven't been growing in a knowledge of the truth of God's Word, you're in a dangerous position. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Is there a difference? Is there unsound doctrine? Is there false doctrine? And so the only way that you're going to be able to oppose that unsound doctrine and false doctrine is that you hold on to the faithful word of God, and that you by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. You hear what he says? There are many vain talkers and deceivers. Well, what's the only thing that's going to help you not to be led astray and destroyed by them? Holding on to what? Holding on to the Word of God. Verse 11, he says that those people that are vain workers and vain talkers and deceivers, verse 11 says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre is evil money. Let me just give you a few examples of people that will say things for filthy lucre's sake. You go and you are talking with someone and visiting with someone, and you talk, you say, you know, we wash feet at the church, and I don't feel real comfortable with doing that. And the other person might say, well, we don't do that, and we would welcome you to come and be with us, and you would be a great blessing to the church. And you know what happens when people begin to church hop like that? You know why they church hop? They church hop because they're deceived by vain words, tricked, led astray. They're not established in the Word of God. And those people that use those vain words and are deceiving other people, the Word of God says you're to take the Word of God and you're to stop their mouths, to make them be quiet. You and I have a responsibility when people begin to lead people astray from the Word of God. You have a responsibility to take the Word of God and stop their mouths. That's what the Scripture is saying here. Use the Word of God. Use the Word of God. We had a little boy in the church that this past week, his teacher got to talking about evolution and talking about how the world came into existence. Some asteroids hit each other and the world began, and this, that, and the other. And the little boy says, excuse me just a minute, or this may not be exactly, I'll let him tell it to you later. But listen, brethren, he began to ask that teacher some questions. Well, where did the water come from? Well, we're not sure about that. Probably out of some of those asteroids that when they crashed together, there was probably some water that came out of them. Well, where did the people come from? Well, we're not sure. We think they might have come from some animals. Oh, where do the animals come from? Well, and then he says, well, where were all they when God was walking on the face of the earth? That's a scriptural term. And the answer was, this is not a religious class. This is a science class. He told me today, he said, I'm going to take my Bible. And he said, I have to read your science book. I want you to read my science book. Let me tell you something, brethren. I don't know how in the world an intelligent human being can believe the imagination that it takes to come up with of evolution and all this trash they're teaching in school today. You want science? This is book is full of science. That's what Brother Robert was talking about earlier today. He was talking about this is a science book. It is a science book. Scientifically, we can prove that the theory of evolution is a lie. Scientifically, scientists, many scientists understand that the truth of God's word is what science proves. But there are those who, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Another person, while that boy was talking, said, my teacher says, some scientists say this is the way it happened. You follow? Is there a difference in you presenting evolution as a fact and saying, well, you know, some scientists say something? One teacher is holding to and adhering to the fact, I have to teach you this stuff, but this is just what some men are saying. And then he'll tell you what the facts are. Lies. Lies. You know what people will say that believe in evolution? Well, we believe God did it all. Let me tell you something, brethren. You can't believe Genesis 1 and believe the theory of evolution. Amen. They don't fit. The order that they give in the theory of evolution is contradicted by Genesis chapter 1. One or the other is right. And the one that's right is the Word of God. How have millions of people been deceived? Because of a lack of a knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. May God be true and every man a liar. Very good. Very good. I love you. That's what I wanted. May God be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter if the whole world believes. It doesn't matter if your parents believe in evolution. It doesn't matter who says it's true. It's a lie from the devil because it takes glory away from God. Go with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. The Word of God again tells us about people who deceive. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 18, the Word of God says, Romans 16 verse 18. Let me read 17 and 18. Romans 16 verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Are there people that teach doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God? What does the Bible say to do to those people that cause divisions by teaching things that are not true? Mark them and what? And avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. 4, verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, that is the flesh, and the vanity that they have, and by good words, listen carefully now, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know who the simple are? They're the babes in Christ. They're the people that haven't studied the Word of God like they should. The simple ones. You ever heard of being simple-minded? Well, there are a lot of children of God that are very simple-minded. They've never studied the book enough to be able to stop the mouths. Their mouths must be stopped. There are deceivers. Let me tell you one more thing in closing. You'll have people right now in another city. I'm working with a couple. And the dear sister in Christ has many people who are telling her, you just need to divorce your husband. Now, her husband has not committed adultery. Her husband's not a perfect man. P.S., she's not a perfect woman either. But neither one of them is perfect. But you know what people are telling her? Oh, you just need to get a divorce. You need to get a divorce. And she wanted to know, was it all right with God if she got a divorce? Asked me. I said, has he committed adultery? No, he hasn't committed adultery, but you don't know what I've been going through. Well, if he hasn't committed adultery, but you don't understand. Well, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, but I don't think my God would require me to live in that mess. Well, I tell you what, there's not a husband and wife here that can't get your mess straightened out. There's not a husband and wife. Let me rephrase that. Well, I'll say there's not a husband and wife here. There's not a husband and wife Christian on this earth. There's not a Christian couple on this earth that can't get their problems straightened out. Amen. But what do the people say? What are these deceivers saying? Divorce, divorce, divorce. Start over. They've even told her people from high school that she dated in high school that really want to see her. Do you follow what I'm saying? They're vain talkers. They're deceitful workers. They're trying to destroy a home. They're not her friends. She thinks they're her friends. Some of them think they're her friends. But it's the devil working to destroy a godly couple. May God help us as his people to understand there are people who are deceivers, just like the devil is a deceiver. Now, we haven't started on the most important thing I want us to look at yet, and that's this. You can deceive yourself. Now, we've been talking about Satan deceiving, and we've been talking about other people deceiving, but you can deceive yourself. In fact, that's the number one thing the Bible talks about when it talks about deceiving. It talks more about you deceiving yourself than it does about Satan deceiving you or people deceiving you. It talks more about you deceiving yourself. So I pray that God will help us if I live and I feel led to continue. I pray that you'll pray that God will help us to study how we deceive ourselves. May the Lord help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.